Well, Jim and I'll stay overnight, and Bev and Joyce and Mary, you'll be going back then.
That's fine.
Hmm?
That's fine.
Okay. Okay, well, was that...
I didn't know, Walter, if you wanted to say anything. You want to get up over here, so...
Or we can take the mic over there, Walter.
I think they should have the class down here, because most students don't know about the SLUC Land Claims Act. And I think that's all I have to say.
Thanks.
Leave those donuts behind.
We'll send them back over tomorrow. Do you want to take over the mic if there's anyone wants to use it?
Cindy, are you ready? Okay, you want to get up over here and use this one here?
Leave my sweater, leave my sweater. Yeah. Oh, I told you, we always get people who come. Well, leave my vest there. Leave it in my park over there.
My name's Cindy McCord, and I could sit here for hours telling you how much this, the land...
Let's just hold it a sec till these noisy people clear up. Watch out for that scarf there. Gonna lose it. Okay, Cindy McCord.
Go ahead.
Okay, I could sit here for hours telling you how much Tyonek means to me, and the culture and the people mean to me, but on anything else, I can't comment on because I am not educated in it. And I know that I am part of the blame because I could have asked questions, but back then I wasn't interested in it at all. I mean, it seemed like 1991 was so far away. But now that it's closer, I am interested in, I would just like to see more maybe classes or meetings held by the corporations or, you know, anybody that can educate me in all of this because I don't know what's going on. I mean, I don't understand a lot of it. That's all. Thanks.
Thanks, Simpson.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, please.
I think throughout this hearing, between now and whatever time that you have left for tomorrow, you're going to be hearing that same thing over and over again, where the people have not been informed, have not been educated in the Native land claims. And yet, in just a short time today, you have had a lot of people who are concerned about their traditional way of life, about what's going to happen to them after 1991. There's no one that you can really put the blame on. I'm not putting the blame on anyone right now, but I think that we really need to get together and, you know, we need to start working on this and trying to do something in educating our young people. They're the ones that are the future leaders of the village, and they're the ones that are going to be directly affected by all this that's happening. In listening to, you know, what Fedora had to say, it just, and what Donald had to say, that, you know, a lot of us that were here today, you know, just were telling you the same thing over and over again. We didn't fully understand, we were not educated. And I think that that is one of the things that really needs to be brought out here, is that the people that were in, are directly involved, have not been fully informed on what is all, what this all means to them, and yet we're the ones that's going to be affected by it.
Well, we've had 14 people speak here this afternoon, and that and it's been a good discussion. And yeah, point that at yourself.
Speaking of,
you have to point it at yourself.
Okay. Speaking of not necessarily blame, but then people that were supposed to watch after Native interest, BIA was supposed to watch out for Tyonek's best interest in 1971. And far as I'm concerned, BIA is the one that's pushed us to go to land claims. And, they should have studied the whole issue and President. Gave it to they should have educated Tyonek, but it didn't happen. This land claims came up and happened overnight. Now BIA should have been should have looked out more for it, whatever.
That brings another point that I would like to bring out, and is most of the people that you had down here in 1971 that did have anything to say about the Native Clan Land Claims Act were people that were now today are corporate people, and they knew what it would mean, but they forgot about, you know, the village life itself and what is actually involved here. And in thinking about that 71 meeting, I can think of when Andy Johnson was down here, and he was a part of the corporation at that time. I can think of Agnes Brown, who is also a part of our corporation. I can think of Roy Hundorf, who has been down here a number of times attending some of our meetings. And I think a number of times there were opinions voiced on the people not being properly educated on this. And, well, that's all.
Because I get emotional about the whole thing. Because
yeah, Myra.
I heard you or somebody mention casually about people selling their stocks. And I feel like, you know, if they sell their stocks, they'd be selling their culture, they'd be selling their land, their heritage. They'd be left with nothing. And I don't think that should even be considered. Because after we lose our culture and our heritage, what else do we have?
Thank you.
A few words. My name is Father Paul Merkulyev. I'm the new pastor here, moved here middle of September. And I've lived on the Aleutian chain, Nikolsky. And I'm also on the board of directors of the Aleut Regional Corporation. So a lot of these issues that are coming up are part of my concerns also. And I think one question that has never been answered, and I think answers are being sought for, is, are the stocks, or your shares, I should say, tied up with your land, or are they separate? And once this question is verified, clarified, and answered, I think we will have our answer. And with 1991 coming up, we have the fear of this. And I was down at Seattle, and there was a person who had been down there quite a while from Atka that says, when can we sell our stock? He wasn't doing too good. He was out of job. So he had an immediate need for cash. And if he had that option, I think he would have sold his stock to anybody that would have paid for it. And this is where I've heard concern about our regional corporations. I know in our with our regional corporation, we are planning this week, we're having stockholders, shareholders meeting this Saturday, the annual meeting, but we're having Friday and Saturday reserved 2 days for village seminars. But we haven't had good participation from the village. People would come, they would say these and stuff, but when they come to the village, the seminar, then half the people barely go there that are in town, and then the issue comes up again. So as a board member and on the deal with the staff, we do not sometimes get enough input on this, and the concerns that are raised here are legitimate and valid. And I think that you should get someone to represent you. If you don't have a board of director from this village on your regional corporation, I think it's time that you made a united effort and ran so that you can express your things or express it to other board members as a unified village corporation. And so in this manner, there are many questions that need to be answered, and it's very true. It's up to the regional corporation, and we've had village relations for a couple of years, but we're getting more and more into it that we're trying to educate the people. Yes, it's costing us money, but that's what the corporation is there for. And talking about culture, this past 2 years, we've tried to set aside money to use for cultural things and awareness. And last year, for first time, we had people bring in their works to show the awareness of it. And with outside shareholders, we sometimes have a problem because they don't like to see these indirect expenses.
You mean shareholders who live in Anchorage or Seattle?
Yes, outside the villages,
yeah.
Or not non-village shareholders, let's put it this way. There are some at large and some outside that do not are not village shareholders. And they want every dollar and every money and effort projected to just making profit. And they say that we have these non-profit organizations which can be funded and funds can be available for grants, that they're the ones that should take care of it. And at the same time, from the village level, we have a deal that the corporation also should be responsible for some of these. So we've taken some allotments or budgeted some money for on the side. But I think the and another thing I'll finish first is that with the other indigenous people calling for land claims, I think one thing that they should verify, which was not verified for us at the beginning, is if there's any stocks or if just land claims, just lands given to them. We got land plus money to run our corporations for our own benefit. So I think this should be one of the concerns of the other people when they are asking for land claims, to make sure that are the shares with the land. If you sell your 100 shares, do you lose your allotment of land? I think this has become a very heavy question. So I think this needs to be clarified with the ANCSA lands. I haven't heard any clarification. Maybe there is, but I haven't heard to this date yet. I think they're still clarifying that or trying to. And so I will let it sit at that. But I just wanted to comment on Bonnie's statement when I came in. It says, if we share ourselves, do we lose our nativeness? I say no. I say, because we were native, we got those shares. And if somebody sold or they were somehow region got into it, that would never make us lose. And I'll just use an example. If I wear clergy shirts or if I wear vestments, priest vestments, that doesn't make me a priest. It's because I am an ordained priest that I have the right to wear this. And it, I think it's the same thing that because we are native, we have this. So for all other peoples, I would say to not to go into the same thing that we did. They fought for it. And this thing was put upon us overnight. You've got 6 months, 9 months, 1 year or something that you've got to make all your decisions. And I remember I was trying to either at large or outside a village corporation, or would I be better in a village? And I asked some close people that were working in there, and they, at that time, they should have been in known. They said one thing, then after that I was, I could have gone another way. And so these are some of the things that are our own people that should have made known, that didn't even know themselves, that for the other people doing this, I think they should try to clarify these things. And Bonnie mentioned that you will probably hear the same thing over and over again. I know it's repetitive, but I think it shows the concern of the people by saying the same thing or whatever's in their mind. Thank you.
Thank you, Father.
I know a lot of what has been said here has, you know, has to do with the elders and the young people who are not educated on this whole issue. But then I had a point brought out to me the other day after we had a meeting with what we call our CAU committee. And the same thing was brought up at that time, you're concerned about your elders, you're concerned about your youth, but what about the people in between? And after 1971, when those people, that enrollment, and you couldn't put anyone else on there, what about them? What is going to happen to them? What do they have?
Bonnie, just ask, did any people from AFN this year, or are they still working on that and trying to resolve it?
Donald was probably more involved in those meetings than I was. I was mostly hitting the cultural events and whatnot at that time, and then I left early.
Well, many people perceive it this year as the first real great AFN meeting there ever was, because the villages both basically told the regions their united concerns on what was developing. So they made an impact, and I think the regions are going to be looking at this, what to do with the corporations after. Uh-huh. And but there's many people, and I think Bristol Bay is one of them, that didn't want to be forced into anything too fast. You know, I agree with you. I think everything is happening too fast in ways of like the buyback options and so on and so forth, and the stocks, I really think they're going too fast. And I think if people don't take it slow and cautiously, we'll probably wind up more hurt than we were when we started off.
I don't know about in your corporation, but in the Elliott Corporation, we had some wolves as our leaders, and bad deals made without backups. That I think we've got one or two little litigations that we're trying to close up. We've had litigations before, and it really has cost the region and especially the shareholders, you know, a lot of dollars that could have been used for something very constructive. And I think people are realizing this and taking steps to this. And I think things are going good, but it's up to the people to watch out for these sharks, you know, and if they get in, or if, to have a control on them. And ours is not perfect, but we've made strides in these last 2 years. That we didn't offer dividends for a while, but this last 2 years we're offering dividends now, and we hope to continue in that same manner.
You know, you think about this 1971 thing, and it's you know, one of the things I forgot to mention was this person that brought up this, I'm too young to be considered an elder, and I'm too old to be considered a youth. So what about my concerns? And you know, the same thing, it's the same thing here with the kids that cannot be put on that enrollment after 1971. Do they count or do they not?
Well, just because they don't have stocks or anything doesn't mean that they don't count in village life, the way I look at it. And that's one of the things that we should be careful with, that we're talking about them being shareholders. Just because we're shareholders doesn't make us true natives or bona fide natives. As they said at that time in our region, there were more Aleuts coming out of the work than we had before. There were Russians, Swedes, or French, or everything like this, you know. But after the native claims and see that things could be gained, we had more natives crawl out of the woodwork. And but I think we should say that we should get our people to will their stocks to the younger people so that they will have it and those stocks won't be lost, you know, and try to make them to will it to our native people if possible. There are others that have been willed to non-natives, and because that's their will, and we can't do anything about that now.
But the question comes up then, if you would like to, I mean, if we can will them to our children, what about what you have with the corporations who are so powerful right now that they can, year after year, put the same board of directors on who have the same ideas? Now, the same board of directors that's on the Siri Corporation have been there how many years? How are we going to change their minds? They haven't listened to us in all these years that they've been on there. What's to change their mind now? And that's a problem I have with Alaska Native Land Claims. And as far as the corporations go,
right.
Because you know this,
they have slaves going, you know, and that becomes very hard. There was talk about trying to get, what kind of voting you call it, where say in our corporation we have three board of directors. Okay, so we're talking 300 votes that we're casting, hundreds to each, or 33 and a third to each, you know.
Sorry, you threw me off there.
Cumulative voting, that's what it was called. Like, okay, let's say, for instance, we have three seats available, and cumulative voting is, okay, I have a chance to vote for three people for my board. Okay, if I put one name down, then he gets three times my share. I don't have to split the votes in three. This was another way that was going, but that gets dangerous again. You can get a few faction and stuff like that. They can vote for just one person, you know. But back in 1977, we had a little group called Something for Better Aleuts. I can't remember what it is, and I belonged to that because we had problem with our corporation, you know, it was run by these people and it was held and we couldn't get in, and our members on the board were in minority that wanted to get better. So there was a concerted effort And finally, we had to file a lawsuit to get the thing in. And but all these people were alerted, and then we were able to get on the next meeting, we were able to get all these others out that were tied up with that president. We got rid of them. There was one or two left in there, but they were in minority then, you know. So this way, you have to make a concerted effort. You have to reach out to the other villages who have the same idea with the board of directors, so that when the time comes to vote, you make sure everybody votes from this village who is eligible and from the other places, and you can replace them. If you get one or two in there.
Yes, but in replacing them, it was also pointed out to me that in order to replace the whole board, it would take how many years, because they're in staggered terms.
I know, but if you can get one or two, they can speak for you. And if he has a good way of talking, he can sway a vote. This is what I mean. You know, you can talk, he can talk to head. I mean, it gets very political, yes. But if this is the only option that is given to us, then we have to take options that are available to us also. And the best way to do it, it's going to cost some money, yes.
It's, I think that's one major problem that the average native have problems with, is the amount of money it'll cost and the knowledge to educate a lot of the other shareholders. Like, for example, in the I think in the Cook and the region alone, I think it'll cost $2,000-some for one mailing list to all the shareholders. And
what region?
I think it's the Cook and the region. I heard that. I think it. Yeah, I heard that somewhere it cost $2,000 for one mailing list.
Yeah.
And you know, that's one major problem. Only one major problem with the individual that has the knowledge of what's going on but can't stop it.
Yeah.
Another problem is that you know, in the wolf pack, what you related to earlier,
Sharker wolves,
is that you know, there's a pack there, and regardless if you start chewing on one of them, a lot of the people say, well, this other guy is a good guy, and they give him all his proxies. Well, the guy that you supposedly is your friend, if he sides with the bad guy, he could spread his proxies out with him, with the bad guy, and get him back in there again.
I know.
And that, you know, and you just get the feeling of uselessness. I mean, it's, I went through this already, I don't know how many times, and I know just about all the tricks in the books they all use, but proxies is the power.
Yeah.
And they got a number of ways of retaining that power. You know, they have certain corporations I am aware of. They have a couple guys that don't even know how to think right, you know, and they're still on the board.
We had those too before. We're yes men.
Could I ask you a question, Father? Everywhere I've gone, people in the villages have said, they say, well, why weren't the children included? That's universal. And they say, well, why were we saddled with this setup where the shares go on the market in 1991? We never wanted that. The other thing they say is, why can't we in the villages own the subsurface resources? Why does the region hold the subsurface resources? And if you care to comment on it, if a way were found of enabling villages to hold the subsurface as well as the surface, because that's what people seem to want in the villages. They're all regional stockholders, but they think the village should hold the subsurface.
And the regions would still have their lands, their extra lands or whatever they're called. As a regional director, how do you feel about that? Do you think that would be wise, or do you think it would be a mistake? The idea that Congress had in the beginning was, I believe, that any mineral discoveries would thus be shared throughout the region. And, of course, the other provision means that 70% of the region's profits are distributed throughout the state. But no one seems very happy with it.
The first of all, the stocks, I don't know. I can speculate only at this particular time that would be sold. I think were some business people that were involved. First of all, they thought about talking it, and the New York banks wanted to say, okay, hey, we'll take your money, we'll work it for you, and we'll give you send you dividends each year. That was the first thought. But there were others like Stevens that said, no, hey, look, the people, it's about time they want to control themselves, not get fed from BIA like they were all this time.
Senator Stevens.
Right, yeah. And that the group at that time and his constituents. So said, well, they asked for it, they've got to manage themselves. Either they make it or they don't. And it's better that they do it themselves because it's theirs to begin with, instead of us doing it for them. They won't gain any experience. And the only thing that I'm saying, with the stocks, I can speculate with business people and other people in there, they wanted to get the things and they might have had it, or they figured it might go good, that they could make money selling stocks if they get in a bind. I don't know for sure, but that's causing some problems now. 20 years seemed like a lot of time at that then, but nowadays, after a decade has passed, another decade is just going by fast. And the other the thing that you're talking about with the village owning the surface, but the region owning the subsurface. Many of the villages do not have the manpower to look into these things and try to make development on this. And this way, there's a check between the region and the village corporation. We had, and the other one that you're talking about is 70% of your resources, subservices from 7i are shared equally among all the regions. And I think this was one of the things that if one region was rich or had better resources than the others who may have gotten the same amount of land or more land but couldn't do anything, at least this was sharing. And North Slope Borough didn't like that. And for a while, they used all kinds of things in the books that they could to not to give us their our share, you know. And we've had problems with that. Finally, they had to disperse with that. Another thing that I've seen in the village corporation, which would make good, but we have too many Napoleons, as I call them. Everybody wants to be an emperor there. And I've seen this on St. George, I've seen it on St. Paul, I've seen it in Nikolsky, I've heard of it in Attica, Akutan, even in Alaska too. Alaska was doing good for a while, and they were in factions again, and I think they're out of it. In fact, I was invited to be the guest speaker last June, but my plane didn't make it there in the afternoon, so I got there after the meeting. And we've had villages, like for instance, Nikolsky, we had resources that they already had their cattle and sheep, that if it was managed properly, they could have made profits off that. But it wasn't, and we had little factions, and so we've got, village has really has their problems. And one, my village corporation, one of them, the vice president, being sued because he made a deal without consulting the board of directors. And, but one of the things that I voted for, and another fellow, just two of us, we were able to sway the vote. They said under, I forgot 14C or that one, that village can have up to so many thousand or cubic yards of material, you know, to use like for roads and dirt subsurface material. But it was stated in our policy that only you couldn't use naturally processed rock. So what am I going to do in Nikolsky when I'm going to, I need a couple of cubic yards of gravel in front of my house. I have to go and find big rocks, send it to Dutch Harbor, have it processed, then shipped back, or I have to go and use sledgehammer and break it up when there's gravel there I could use, you know. So this was another thing. The staff didn't like it, but too bad. A couple of us spoke out for it, and we won the vote on that, and we got them to use naturally processed rock. You know. But here again, just few people, sometimes on the board, can make and make some difference. And is there anything that I may not have, may have forgotten or may not have covered?
No.
Because I know you had a bunch of questions.
No, you covered it very well. Well, would anybody else like to speak this afternoon? We're coming back tonight, I understand. So.
Are there some that are going to be coming here this afternoon, I mean this evening? Do you think of, can you get some people that may want to talk tonight together?
No, I thought Daniel would want to be able to meet.
They're going to be up around, usually they come up around 8 or 9. I'm going to check with them, though, to make sure that they do come up.
Or not up there?
They're down at camp. But I was thinking if you knew of anyone up in yours up there that might, you might be able to get to come down. We're supposed to have started 7 o'clock tonight, and we thought we were going to get enough time to get to everybody, but they changed it again.
I wish I could spend a little more time, but I've got to go in to Anchorage tomorrow, and subcommittee meeting started, and I just got things to do.
Well, thanks for coming. Yes.
My name is Peter Mikuliak. I've been working for the native village of Tayonek for 2 years now. I'm not an Alaskan native. There are two things I would like to contribute to this discussion. Number one, it begins with a story appearing in one of the books by Jack London of a man, a white man, who wanted something that an Indian had. In this case, it was a dog. It was a very large, strong dog and a very intelligent dog. And the Indian, whose name was Gray Beaver, knew the value of this dog and wasn't going to sell it for anything in the world. And one day, when the man, whose name was Smith, went to speak with Gray Beaver, he brought him a bottle. And he did this for several meetings. And Gray Beaver got the thirst, in the words of Jack London. And eventually, as the story would go on, Gray Beaver traded the dog for a case of those bottles. I've been working for the village here as a coordinator and counselor of an alcohol and drug abuse program. And there are some individuals in the village, and this is, I'm going to describe an abnormal situation, not normal village life, but an abnormal situation. There are some individuals who, at the first chance of selling their shares, of trading their land, for the sake of the alcohol or the drugs that they're addicted to, they will do this. This is something that the villages, I think, all over Alaska are beginning to take some really solid action about, but it's something that needs to be mentioned as a possibility among one group of people. The other thing is something that I've been taught during the past 2 years about subsistence. Subsistence is many things, one of which is an economic system. It provides for the production and distribution of goods and services. It's a different economic system from the cash economic system. And both systems have sets of values that come with them that sometimes are not easily translatable between the two systems. The cash system values individual and accumulation of wealth by individuals. The subsistence economic system values the family, the tribe, the group, because survival is attained by a group of people, not by an individual. The individual in the bush will die. It's the tribe that survives, the village, the community, by cooperating together. I think one of the things that need to be examined before 1991 is the kind of economics that cooperatives propose, cooperatives suggest, whether they're producer cooperatives, consumer cooperatives, whether they're credit unions, whether they're community land trusts in which the tribe owns the land, the individuals or the families of the tribe lease it from the tribe, but the title belongs to the community. There are some models like this that might be of great use in the future when the economy in rural Alaska is going to be a mixed economy of subsistence and cash, but that the people can keep their values, the values of family, of community, of tribe, and of the community managing the land and sharing its resources and guarding them together. This is all I wanted to say.
Yeah, thank you. How do you spell your last name?
M-I-K-U-L-I-A-K.
Okay, got it. Thank you.
You know, back in 65, when we talked about the monies that the village became involved in, which is the oil monies, and the village itself provided the tribe with 60 homes that where everything was furnished for them. And one of the concerns of the people of the leaders at that time was exactly what Peter is talking about. And one of the ways that we were able to come up with a solution to that was that all the homes that are, the 60-odd homes that are involved, that were set up with tribal monies, are held in trust by the native village of Tyonek. Because at that time, they talked about this exact same thing happening, that there was going to come a time in a person's life, because of the problems that we have with alcohol and drugs in the village, that they may want to sell that home because they were in need of another drink or in need of some fast cash. But in one of the resolutions that we have, they could never sell their home to an outsider, to a non-native. They could only sell it to another member of the village. And I see this as, you know, as a danger in 1991 when those, you know, stocks become when you can sell them. It's a known fact that the native people have a problem with alcohol, not only here in the village of Tyonek, but statewide. The corporations, I know, are aware of this. But what are they doing to protect the people? What provisions are made so that even though that person may be addicted to alcohol or drugs, something needs to be done to protect their property or their stock? They should not ever be able to sell that piece of paper that says they own a share in this corporation while under the influence of alcohol or drugs. Anyway, I see that as a problem, and like I said, a lot of these things, these issues that we do have to bring up become very emotional, they hit you where you don't know how to express it, but you can see what is going to happen. That's all.
Well, thanks to everybody. We've had a kind of informal meeting here for about 4 hours, and it's really been quite good. 16 people have spoken, and I found it very helpful and very thoughtful. I guess this would be as good a time as any, Bonnie, to stop for till tonight, and you decide when we ought to come back tonight.
About 7:30, maybe. I think we can, if we can give you maybe an hour and a half to get.
Sure.
And by that time, there should be some other people that may be coming from. They still go down to their fish camps and everything, so.
Sure. We're at your disposal tonight. We're not going anywhere.
So they're going to be here. They can be here until about 10 tonight if they have to, if anybody else wants to come.
I'll check around the slope. You know, the main reason for that ordinance? It wasn't because of alcohol and drugs.
Because
of control.
Yeah, because you could lose control there. But then one of the things that was brought up at that time was that.
And because
you mean sale to outsiders?
Yeah. Right.
It's because of the village didn't want to lose control, and because it's all private property owned by the IRA,
mm-hmm. and they wanted to keep it in that
control by IRA. That's the reason. Mm-hmm. Plus, what you said,
yeah.
Alcohol and drugs.
Yeah.
That's good. Look at this. You saw that? You need to put that up somewhere. Terry King got that just for. He saw that and it was just a.
Yeah, we had a good.
Look at all this.
Draft.